From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Paramilitary groups and other forces loyal to Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi have retaken control of the eastern oil refinery city of Brega and are launching airstrikes near another city that's the site of a massive rebel-controlled weapons depot. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro in eastern Libya says that rebel forces are rallying to fight back.
They are a ragtag group of former army officers and young men who've simply joined the militia. They're armed. There's very little central control. We saw that today at a training camp where all of a sudden there was news that Brega was under attack, and people just said, hey, we're going. We're not going to stay here and be trained by the military. We need to fight. We need to fight now. Give us weapons. We're willing to lay our lives down on the line.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro in eastern Libya. Rebel forces are seeking help from the U.S. military and other NATO countries. In particular, they want a no-fly zone imposed over Libya, a move that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said is under active consideration. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, says such a move would be very difficult.
It's an extraordinarily complex operation to set up.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates is also downplaying the prospect of any U.S. military intervention in Libya. Thousands of people are flocking to Libya's border with Tunisia to try to flee the country. And the scene there is chaotic, with Tunisian border control agents struggling to maintain order. Josette Chiron with the UN's World Food Program says relief workers are bracing for the influx of people leaving Libya.
The situation's in great flux, and we are looking at the situation on the border of Egypt, within Libya, and on the border here.
Chiron says the World Food Program is expecting to spend $38 billion just to provide food to Libyan refugees. The Senate is expected to give quick approval to a stopgap spending bill to keep the federal government operating past Friday when the current stopgap measure expires. NPR's Ordie Cornish says the measure was approved with bipartisan support in the House.
This two-week extension still includes some cuts, some $4 billion in spending reductions to some education programs and certain earmarks. But if passed by the Senate, it only buys another 2 weeks negotiating time for Republicans and Democrats to compromise on a deal that will cover the rest of the fiscal year, which ends in September. Democrats have criticized the GOP proposals because they say they cut too deeply and could stifle job growth and the economic recovery. Republicans say the mounting debt could do the same and are pushing for cuts in whatever agreement is on the table. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
Gunmen in Pakistan have assassinated that country's only Christian cabinet minister. He's the second top official there killed after challenging a law that mandates the death penalty for anyone who insults Islam. This is NPR News from Washington. The battle over collective bargaining rights for public sector workers in Wisconsin is heating up. NPR's David Shaper reports from Madison that GOP Governor Scott Walker wants to slash spending on schools and local governments.
Governor Walker calls it a reform budget that cuts spending and makes state government leaner and cleaner.
We are returning to frugality and making the long-term decisions to balance our budget now and, more importantly, into the future.
But Walker's budget cuts could force schools to reduce pay and benefits even more than Walker has proposed and could lead to thousands of teacher layoffs. Miles Turner of the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators calls Walker's budget
the largest, most profound cut to public education, certainly in the history of Wisconsin.
But the Walker budget will be stalled, just as his collective bargaining changes have been, as long as Wisconsin State Senate Democrats remain out of state. David Shaper, NPR News, Madison.
U.S. automakers are reporting a surge in sales during February despite severe winter weather in many parts of the country. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports it was the best month for vehicle sales in a year and a half since the days of the Cash for Clunkers program.
Nissan sales rose 32% compared to February last year. Sales were up 42% at Toyota and 46% at General Motors. Loans and leases have become easier to obtain, and some companies increased incentives, especially Nissan and GM. Truck and SUV sales were strong, despite a spike in gas prices late in the month. But analysts warn that some carmakers' profits could take a hit later in the year if gas prices keep going up and consumers turn to lower-priced small cars. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton in Ann Arbor.
And I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support